Wangari Maathai won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004 for her work with the Greenbelt Movement of Kenya. Her campaign to encourage rural women to plant trees grew into a nationwide movement to safeguard the environment, protect human rights, and defend democracy. Lisa Merton and Alan Data directed a film about Wangari Maathai called Taking Root. The movie is showing tonight at the World Community Film Festival here in Vancouver. And Lisa Merton joins me by phone this morning from Vermont. Hello, Lisa.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So where did you first meet Wangari?
We met her in 2002 at the Yale School of Forestry. She was there for a semester teaching in that program.
And what was it about her that inspired you to make a full-length film like this about her?
Well, we had actually been asked to go and meet her and do a short interview and buy some archival footage and put together a short film, 15 minutes long, something like that. And we met her, and we were right away. I mean, her presence is enormous and quite... She's very charismatic, and she's humorous, and that comes across immediately. And we were there with her for probably 3 hours. The interview just went on, and she's a remarkable storyteller. So, you know, she grew up in an oral culture. So she's used to listening to stories and telling stories, and she just told us this story about her life, and we couldn't believe it. I mean, here it was. It was a kind of a universal story. There was a bad guy, there was a good woman, and there was decades of back and forth fighting. But it all started with the environment. It all started with planting trees. And she went organically from there to actually speaking truth to power. She had to confront the dictatorship of Kenya to accomplish the tree planting that she wanted to. So she became a political activist, an environmental activist, and it was an astounding story. And we said, oh, come on, you know, 15-minute film, no way. This has to be a feature-length film, and when we have to go to Kenya, we have to meet these women of the Greenbelt Movement.
Her personality comes through very clearly in the film. You really get a sense of who she is and a wonderful look at how she tells stories, particularly. I agree with you. She's a wonderful storyteller.
Yeah, she's a phenomenal woman. I just actually was with her the night before last in Los Angeles because she and Al Gore received the chairman's award from the NAACP for their work with the environment. And she was practicing her speech earlier a day earlier in her room, and she was just she's just so funny. You know, she was pretending that she was holding the award, and she was holding a banana. You know, and she just has that kind of just wonderful humor, and always looks on the bright side of things. I mean, she's been beaten unconscious, she's been jailed, she's been hunted, basically, almost, and she just always looks on the bright side and looks at the glass half full.
Now, she was a professor in Nairobi when she first started to talk with rural women and learn from them about their problems. How did that connection come about?
She was a professor, you're correct. She had just been through a very high-profile divorce. She had also tried to run for parliament while she was a professor, and that was not technically a possible thing to do. She couldn't work for a university and also run for parliament or hold a parliamentary position. So she was basically forced to resign. And she had already been experimenting with tree planting and had a garden full of seedlings and trees and various stages. She had been doing research in the field in her professorship and noticed the soil erosion and the lack of trees and also that the water was dirty. And she kind of thought, what's going on here? And she also was the university representative to the National Council of Women of Kenya. And so lots of rural women were coming to that forum and saying, you know, our children are malnourished, we don't have clean drinking water, we're walking very long distances for firewood. And you know, she could corroborate that with her own experience of doing field research and, you know, what she'd seen herself. And so she said, well, you know, let's plant trees. Trees, they produce nutritious fruit, they hold the soil, so they stop erosion, they'll supply firewood one day, and they'll also be really good for the environment. So, you know, she chose the tree. And that's how it all started.
There's an amazing scene of a Kenyan woman who's, she's an older woman, and she's standing in a forest. The trees are way over her head, and she said, "I planted this."
That's Naomi, yeah.
And I just thought, what an incredible sense of empowerment you must get if you're Naomi in that forest.
Yeah, and what she can do, I mean, she's the one who talks about being able to give lumber to her neighbors and, help them out with trees and seedlings. And just that whole area, the microclimate has actually changed because of the number of trees that have been planted. It's amazing. It was an area that was deeply deforested, I mean, hugely deforested by colonialism, by overuse of the local people, but also during Mau Mau, it was deforested. So it was almost a dust bowl. And it's now verdant. It's quite astounding to see how beautiful it is.
Now, why did the tree planting women eventually run afoul of the government? How did that happen?
Well, first of all, there was an old law on the books, an old colonial law that said no more than five people can gather together, because you know what happens when people gather. They start talking about things and they make plans and maybe they foment some kind of change. And so, of course, these women were getting together to talk about planting trees and even to plant the trees and look after the trees. And Moy said, no, Moy, Daniel Arap Moy, who was the president from 78 until 2002, he said, no, you can't gather, you can't, you know, he tried to stop them from actually getting together. And Wangari was also educating people about what was happening to the forests. Why were the forests disappearing? Well, it was actually the government was responsible to a degree in destroying the forests, because they wanted to keep in power, and so they were kind of selling off the forests to keep themselves in power. So she was exposing him. So she had to become political in order to continue to plant the trees.
Now, the story that you tell takes us from the start of British colonial rule in the 1880s to the fall of Daniel Arap Moy in 2002, and you've included a truly impressive amount of archival footage. You tell us about an event, a demonstration. We see it in front of our eyes. Where did you manage to get all that?
It was difficult, particularly because Wangari was not somebody that the government wanted to give any voice. So there was very little footage of her in the early days. The only footage that you actually saw in the film from the early days was in 89, I think, when Daniel Arap Moy actually condemns her or makes fun of her in front of a crowd of thousands of people. And that footage was making him look good and making her look, you know, bad, at least from his point of view. And so we could get that piece. Most of the footage is somewhat later. It's footage in the 90s when the press was allowed a little bit more freedom. We got it from the different media houses, but it wasn't always simple to get, because we would have seen some old footage, say, in a tape that Wangari had or somebody else in the film had, and so we knew what existed. And then we would go to the media house and we'd say, well, we'd like to get this from you. And they'd say, but we don't have that. And we'd say, but, you know, we're sure you have it. And they would occasionally get raided, the media houses, so they would put things down in the basement or hide things away. And there were several instances when they went to their, you know, their treasures down in the basement and came up with something that we indeed did want to use. It was hard to get that stuff.
What do you hope that audiences will take from this film?
I hope that they will take hope, that they will understand that each one of us can make a difference in the survival of the ecosystem that we are so dependent on, well, the Earth. I hope that they will truly look at themselves and see what they can do to connect the dots that she connected, which are, for me, environmental justice, social justice, economic justice, and therefore human rights. I mean, that's what's so brilliant that she did. She connected conflict and resources. I mean, if we look around the globe now, we see what's going on in Iraq. It's about oil. We see what's going on in Sudan. It's about pasture land. We see what's going on in the Congo. It's ethnic, but it's also about the substance that's in every cell phone and computer that is 90% of it is in the Congo, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. the fights that are going on in the world today are about resources, and water is going to be, it's already about water. So all of us need to use less and think about the ways that we can make a difference so that the planet is here for our children and our grandchildren.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me this morning, Lisa, and it's a wonderful film. I encourage people to go and see it.
Thank you for having this talk. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Lisa Merton. She's co-director of Taking Root.